Welcome to the Magnetic Photographer Podcast. I'm Sky Edmonds, portrait photographer of 19 years, photographer educator of 15 years, and intuitive business and life coach. I help heart-centered photographers expand their income and impact through nervous system regulation, energetics, somatic connection, and business strategy so that they can become the bold, visible face of their brand. Hello and welcome to the Magnetic Photographer Podcast. How are you doing? It's so good to be back. Although we have another cloudy day here in SoCal, and I am so over it. I can't believe how spoiled I have become by the sunshine. I don't know how I'm going to make it when we move to Tennessee and we actually have weather all year. So in 1 week, my photographer shoot out in Austin, Texas, just doing a 1 day quick shootout, and I am super, super excited. The dresses are amazing. Oh my gosh. And the models and working with my favorite hair and makeup stylist. I am freaking excited. And I finally got a new camera backpack because my other one was, over the shoulder. It's gorgeous leather. I love the floral on the inside, but it was killing my back, killing it. So I finally just broke down and got a backpack for the airport. It's not as fancy. I like a snazzy bag. So I have some patches and buttons and some kind of frills that I'll try to add to it to give it some flavor. So we'll see how that goes. All right, so today I wanted to share my personal experience with EMDR therapy. First, what is EMDR therapy? Well, I'll give you the short of it. EMDR stands for eye movement, desensitization, and reprocessing therapy. And I'll talk a little bit more about that in just a second. But first, this is not about me saying it's right for everyone. This is simply my personal journey with EMDR. In fact, every now and then when I've shared my story on socials, I've had people say, meh, or it wasn't for me. And I respect their very real lived experience. It goes without saying, but I'm going to say it. I am not trained in EMDR. Again, this is my own personal experience. Okay, so how is this related to business, Sky? Well, because I am related to my business. I won't go as far as saying I am my business because energetically, I believe I encompass so much more than just my business. My business is just one facet of myself. And the same goes for you. You are more than just your business. But I think the entire message of my podcast and teachings is to improve your business, you must first look within you and heal you. Since starting my healing journey, every aspect of my business has been improved, shifted, or up-leveled. From how I connect to clients, how I shoot, my creative process, my openness to learning, how I approach content building, marketing and messaging, client attraction, pricing my work and services, all of it. And if you've been on my Instagram stories for a while, you know that I'm very pro-therapy and have been open about my journey. I must mention EMDR is often not covered by insurance, but please check. So it's a privilege many may not be able to step into, sadly. Okay, so more on EMDR. It is a treatment for trauma and other difficult life experiences. For example, PTSD, depression, phobias, and panic disorders, as well as one-time trauma events such as car accidents, witnessing violence, or other severely upsetting situations. And you get to define what severely means to you and your body. As I'll share, some of the situations I processed in EMDR were not what you would call a quote-unquote big trauma, but trauma is not about what happens to you, but that you were alone with an emotional event and had no one to help you process it. Your body needs to process it. Your mind needs to process it. Now, before we continue, I want to give a gentle trigger warning. I won't be giving too much detail or depth on my experiences, but still, I may be skirting on potentially tough subjects like death. If you're like, girl, I'm just trying to survive emotionally today, then this episode may be best enjoyed at a later time. EMDR uses what's called bilateral stimulation by using eye movement, tones, or taps from left to right in a rhythmic pattern. This helps process the trauma memories and store them in the past. Otherwise, your brain and body keeps treating them as if they were still happening in the present. Have you ever overreacted? Okay, you can't see me, but both of my hands are up. But yeah, that's what that looks and feels like. As the saying goes, you may be bleeding on people who didn't cut you. Another thing about bilateral stimulation is essentially using both hemispheres of the brain. And if you want a quick somatic exercise to help you regulate yourself when you're feeling a little too activated, okay, so when you're sitting down, take your lap, put your right hand on your right leg, your left hand on your left leg, and one at a time, just start tapping gently or whatever level of pressure you like. That's bilateral stimulation, and it can help calm you. So how does it work? EMDR helps our brain reduce distress linked to the memories. It helps us feel acceptance, develop a sense of safety, regulate our nervous system, yay, and hold new beliefs about ourselves, double yay. One important thing to note, and this is a big one, EMDR does not require that we talk about the trauma, hallelujah. We bring up a memory, we notice any thoughts, beliefs, emotions, and sensations inside of us, and then we go from there with our therapist. And I will share a bit about how you don't even have to be conscious of the memory. The body can actually lead us, if we let it, to what we need to heal. This is one of the reasons why I became a somatic-based coach. Somatic comes from the word soma, which means body. So a body-led coach. So if you're hanging out with me, we're doing some sort of movement, we are touching ourselves, or we are open to the sensations in our body. Ooh, I'm feeling some tightness in my chest whenever I mention this. Okay, let's explore that. Traditional talk therapy is often referred to as a top-down approach to healing, meaning it starts with our cognitive mind, the prefrontal cortex, and works down to the body, like the nervous system. So if we're trying to use that 5%, that conscious part of our minds, to figure out something that happened in our childhood, we're going to find out we're very limited. But the body is attached to your limbic system or your subconscious mind, and it has access to everything. Your subconscious mind is a supercomputer. It remembers the day you were born. It remembers you in utero. It remembers the wallpaper of your first bedroom in November, whatever the year. It remembers. Most mental health treatment in the U.S. is based on a top-down, cognitive-based approach. These methods rely on someone's ability to become conscious of their thoughts and then work to change those thoughts. A great example is CBT, cognitive behavioral therapy. Now, I personally did 6 years in talk therapy, on and off, using something similar to CBT called DBT, and it's also another top-down approach to therapy. And I didn't really get anywhere except to learn some coping skills, but they were all cognitive-based, not body-based. The other approach is a bottom-up approach, which is what EMDR therapy is. You see, trauma responses happen before our prefrontal cortex can even register what's happening. then those trauma responses get stuck in the body and remain as trauma memories until they are processed properly. Bottom-up processes are those that are initiated by the sensations and movements of the body. In bottom-up processing, the input of sensory information is coming in from the external environment. Our sensory receptors, in turn, let the brain know whether we are safe or not. These processes occur without us even being conscious of them. In other words, your prefrontal cortex is not even involved. Studies are showing that many people respond much quicker to bottom-up therapy versus top-down. I'm definitely one of them. Of course, top-down has its place. According to Robin Brickle, a trauma-informed therapist who uses bottom-up approaches, well, she says, trauma survivors, they're living so much of their life in the bottom part of their brain, with the amygdala, the smoke alarm of the brain, shooting off signals of danger, 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 that they can't access that top part to be able to start there. Okay, so I have another quote by Laura Reagan of Trauma Therapist Network. It's a little long, but it's good. Since trauma responses are automatic and unconscious, top-down approaches to treatment are helpful. They rely on our ability to perceive with our conscious mind. This is helpful when we are unable to address the cascade of events that leave us feeling anxious, depressed, or unsafe. When a person is experiencing trauma, their prefrontal cortex actually goes offline. Thus, the body can conserve energy for fight or flight, and we can survive. This means that it's the body, not the brain, where the trauma is present. And it's the body, not the brain, which initiates trauma responses. If you haven't had success with trauma therapy that was cognitively based, you might want to look into some of the bottom-up approaches. Okay, so what are some examples of bottom-up approaches? Yoga therapy. I actually tried trauma-informed yoga, and it was pretty interesting. Of course, EMDR, brain spotting, art therapy, drama therapy, dance movement therapy. I bet that's amazing. Play therapy, sand tray therapy, equine-assisted psychotherapy, somatic experiencing, and sensory motor psychotherapy. I'll have to go back and count exactly how many EMDR sessions I've had. I believe around 15 or 16 sessions over the span of 2 years. I still plan on going back as I've had some new issues and some deeper past issues that I would like to work on. I've had other sessions with my therapist that did not involve EMDR. We still do a body-led approach, and often we use what is known as parts work, which is a whole separate podcast and is also quite life-changing. I personally believe over the next few years, along with nervous system regulation, you will be hearing more and more about parts work in mental and emotional health discussions. Parts work is officially known as internal family systems, by the way, and shout out to my precious and funny friend Ginny for telling me about it in 2020. Again, freaking life-changing. So let me just say how much I love my therapist. Oh, and ode to my therapist. And I don't say that like she saved my life or some kind of codependent relationship that people can get in like an enmeshment. I love my therapist because she is very empowering of me, right? It all comes down to how can you bring safety to your body? How can you lead in your healing? It's not about her. It's about me. I love it. I love that she wants to essentially work herself out of a job. And it's really inspired me as a coach myself, working with photographers. I don't want to build a codependent relationship where you guys need me and you need to keep buying from me and you need to stay in my world and all this other stuff. No, I want to teach you how to do these things yourself and be empowered to change your life with them. And you don't really need me. You know, I know my message is important, but that need, it's such a loaded word. I want you to choose me. I want to walk that journey with you, but need... Okay, so let's get into it. My first 3 to 4 sessions were all about grounding and feeling safe. Now, what do I mean by grounding? Was I able to ground myself, my body, and my mind if something became too activating or too triggering for me? A good EMDR therapist will not want you to become re-triggered, feel unsafe, or have a big reaction in your body. They will take the time to build within you the ability to bring regulation to your own body. Let them. If you are with an EMDR therapist that just wants to jump on in, my opinion, that's a very big red flag. Take the time, go slow, and build those resources for safety. I was already familiar with grounding techniques because of my journey with anxiety and panic disorder over the past several years, hence why I was in talk therapy all that time, which is something I no longer struggle with, by the way. Thank you to nervous system regulation, body-led healing, EMDR, and learning how to sit with, feel, and process my emotions. Oh, and I'm going to throw in thought work as an honorable mention too. Hell, before my first appointment, I already had a grounding basket on the stairs in my house. If you're like, what is a grounding basket? Essentially, it's a basket full of items to help me ground myself in the present by using my senses. So touch, smell, taste, hearing. So what's in the basket? Squishy balls. Yes, I said squishy balls, and guess what? I'm sure not to let those balls fall on the floor because they're going to get quite hairy, and guess what? That's not a very fun sensory experience, unless you're into that sort of thing. Next up, sugar-free candies. Hashtag, because I've healed insulin resistance and would like to keep it that way, thank you. Play-Doh, I love the smell more than I like to touch it, to be honest. Essential oils. One of my favorite scents is like almonds smell. It's kind of like that cherry almond. Yes. And it reminds me of white wedding cake, which is like my most favorite thing on the earth. And now I'm hungry. Hashtag, I need to remember to heal my insulin resistance and keep it that way. Glitter snow globes, shika, shika, shika. Crystals, smooth rocks that kind of cling together in your hands. One of those squishy gel eye masks. Those are fun. And other stuff. Cool thing is, whatever you're drawn to, put it in there. If it sounds strange, don't knock it until you try it. And science backs it up. It's nice to be able to just sit there and squish. Or sniff. Or whatever. And get out of my head and back into my body. Get out of that anxiety. Get out of that overthinking. Ground myself. Remember, trauma causes us to lose access to our rational thinking brain by getting us caught up in the past or the future. But being in the present is where our power lies. If you haven't reconnected to yourself and your body by squishing some Play-Doh, you haven't really lived. Well, I'm being a bit facetious, but if you want to go learn more, go search on Pinterest for grounding baskets. Actually, I think grounding box gets better search results or self-care kits. They're also fabulous for helping kids learn to regulate and process emotions. Of course, one of the best ways to show a child how to process and regulate, though, is having a parent who models it for them. No pressure, though. And you can make it fun. Hey, we're going to go get a grounding box or self-care kit or I am calm box, whatever you want to call it, and go let them pick out like fun little items. Fidget toys are already on the market. You can find them at places like Target or Amazon. I wish I had access to those when I was homeschooling my son, grades 5th through 12th. And trust me, your kids already know about squishies. Squishmallows, is that word a little triggering for you, for some of you parents out there? Oh no, you guys. This is starting to feel like it needs a part 2. One day when I'm rich and famous and can send out my podcast to an editor to be processed, I'll let them get long. But for now, when it's little me with an unpredictable attention span, I like to keep my podcasts around the 25 to 30 minute mark. I feel like I'm on TikTok. Go to part two. Okay, that was my Michaela. I can't do a Boston accent. I really can't do accents at all. That is just, they all like, I start at one and it becomes another. I don't know. That's just one of my little secret shames. I am not able to do it. But maybe that's just a mindset block. Anyways, you're like, girl, you keep on yammering. No wonder why you need a part two. In all seriousness, you're going to want to check in on part two, where I dive into more juicy details now that I've laid the groundwork down. So now I have a Pilates class to run off to, and then I get to style the models for the shootout next week. I'm going to assign each one a dress, and I have to factor in a little wiggle room, so I'm going to have a couple extras. We have many different designers. I'm so excited. I don't wear dresses often myself, but let me be around all the dresses. I swear I can work in a bridal shop and just want to touch and all that sensory. You know, we just talked about sensory. It's like my grounding basket is a bridal shop or fabric or oof, I love it. And I'm a paper person too. Like, you know, I'll put things on digitally eventually, but when it comes to like scheduling models or ideas, I have notebooks full of ideas for my courses, for my teaching. I just love the feel of paper. I love real books versus reading them online, though audiobooks is pretty cool. I'm just, I guess, a sensory person. So I will see you soon in part two. I promise I will not make you wait long. Thank you for joining me on my journey. Until next time.